Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Well, good Saturday morning, and it is darn near NFL time, which means it's time to talk fantasy football, and it's the Fantasy Football Foursome Draft Edition, and we are excited to be back on the air. This show is brought to you every single week by ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. We may have people pop in and pop out. We don't know for sure, but for right now, three of us are on. And go ahead and introduce yourself, Eric.
My name is Eric LeBratton from Hutchinson, Minnesota. I'm excited for football to be back August 26th. We've been watching lots of preseason, lots of stuff going on. So excited for the season to start and start whooping up on John and Jack and Justin and Lyle and some fantasy. I had a bad year last year, John. I can only do better this year, John. It's one of those things.
You and me both. You and me both. Justin.
Well, unfortunately, I can't do any better because I won the whole dang shebang last year. Defending Lombardi champ, very proud. First two-time champ. There's a little bit of controversy there at the end. So I don't, doesn't feel super clean. We had that game that got canceled, right? That kind of impacted the score with me and Carter. So technically I won. I had a pretty good lead with the player he had left, but you never know. So I'm excited for an opportunity to get my third Lombardi trophy. I know there's a couple of people that have none.
There are, for sure. My name is John Jennings. I had a rough year last year as well, but I take more chances than I should in the Loon League every year, and the last year, absolutely none of them panned out. Anyway, for the next hour, at least on the radio, we're going to be breaking down draft time, sleepers, busts, rookies, who we picked, why we picked them, some things we're seeing with drafts for average draft position, where players are going, and whatnot. Now, here's what we've decided to do. We can't do this in an hour. So what's going to happen is when we are done on the radio, it's going to spill over, and you can listen to all of it on our website, 941theloon.com, or go get that free 94.1 The Loon app for your mobile devices, and you can hear more draft coverage. Well, I see no reason not to get into it. We held our 94.1 The Loon draft probably earlier than we should, but we needed something to talk about. On air, it is a 12-team full PPR league, and we run it through the Evil Sports Network's site, but they do a pretty good job of fantasy football. Number one and number two picks were Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Eric, off the air, you said, when's the last time that happened? I don't know. I'd just love to hear your comments on that.
Yeah, John, I mean, we come from an era where I remember the top 10 picks being all running backs. So it's just crazy to see the top two picks being wide receivers. It doesn't surprise me in a league that's just a pass heavy league. Lots of leagues have gone to PPR. Almost all leagues are PPR now. And, even if they're not, the receivers are getting 150 plus yards, especially these top guys like Justin Jefferson, Chase, a healthy Hill, a healthy Cup. I mean, they're right up there over Eckler and McCaffrey. So, I mean, the wide receiver heavy league, I mean, the top, what is it, five of the top 10 picks, Justin, are wide receivers.
I think that's kind of the unique thing about this year is average is five or four receivers going in the first round, but I've done a lot of mocks, and there are rounds where there's six of them going, Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, that kind of next tier, they all can sneak into the first round depending on, who you prefer. But this year is a year where you can kind of take any draft strategy, really. You can go zero RB. You can go hero RB. You can do the opposite. You can, in a 10-man, you can grab a quarterback and a tight end in the first five or six rounds and probably still be happy with your build. I'm not saying, I enjoy doing every one of those, but whichever one you prefer, you can kind of get away with any of them this year. And I've really just found myself going back to the old school, simple, best player available. when I draft and just kind of worry about, you know, filling out the rest of my roster in the seventh round and later. But usually by then I have pretty close to a starting lineup. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of my input.
So as far as us in the league, I'm going to have to worry about the roller coaster ride of Ja'Marr Chase, and Burrow's a little dinged up right now. Lyle took Christian McCaffrey fourth. Jack took Tyreek Hill fifth. Nothing really out of the ordinary here. Eric, you took Cooper Kupp ninth. Were you surprised he fell to you that far?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, like I said earlier, this guy's probably the number two pick in the draft if you knew he was going to stay healthy, right? Like, he has a problem with health. So, I mean, like, he slipped a little bit more. But with the people, you know, I think with Bijan Robinson, knowing my kid would take him, I figured he might slip to me. I'm very surprised that Zeke and Destroy didn't take over Derrick Henry, but it's a PPR league and a very point heavy. I mean, you got to know your point system in your fantasy league, and in the Loon league, definitely wide receivers are the most important player on your roster.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll probably talk more about Derrick Henry a little later. I thought he went very early. A lot of drafts I've seen and mocks and whatnot, he's been a second round pick. But Justin, you snatched up Saquon Barkley, good spot for him. And then you had the wraparound pick and got just an all-star wide receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown with the first pick and the second.
Yeah, I had some options. You know, I was kind of salivating as it got closer to my pick. Cooper Kupp wasn't going to make it past Eric. I knew that. I think he's slipping. It's a combo of concerns with his injury and potentially Matt Stafford as well. But he's still a first round talent. I agree with Eric. He could still finish as a number one wide receiver overall. But I was thinking about running back at this point. My options were Barkley and Chubb, and that was really the only difficult. Barkley was a no-brainer. He's a pass-catching back in a PPR league. I got great value on him. So then I was just kind of deciding, you know, once I went, all right, I'm going to take one of these receivers instead of Nick Chubb, it was which one, right? And I like all of them. I like Stephon Diggs. I like CeeDee Lamb. I like A.J. Brown. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. And in the end, I went with the – I don't want to have a huge miss in the first round, so I just took Amon-Ra. He's a PPR machine. He has an avenue to finish number one overall, but he should absolutely be right up there with the top five receivers. So I went with the safety of his receptions.
After you took Amon-Ra, the up next on the 14th pick, which I thought was a little bit of a stretch, was Amari Cooper. Browns should have a little bit better year, although Watson isn't looking that great in camp. And then right after Amari Cooper comes Josh Jacobs, and he's been a holdout. He is back in camp, if I had heard correctly. I thought that was a little, because at the time we drafted, I think he was still holding out. But then, Eric, you got what a lot of people are pointing to as a first-round pick in Steph Diggs at 16.
Yeah, I mean, got one of the top quarterbacks in the league playing in Buffalo. I feel like it was between him and A.J. Brown. I think one thing listeners got to understand is, hey, if you want your guy, you might have to reach a few picks, right? So I was thinking A.J. Brown, but I felt like that was a reach. And I'm not talking about Jack's favorite kind of reach around. You know, I'm talking about a reach where you pick a few picks to get a guy you want, because you're not going to pick for another 20 picks. So make sure you get the guy you want. So I was happy getting Diggs here. It was either him or AJ Brown, and Diggs kind of just fell to me. So
probably the scariest pick of the draft came at number 20, or excuse me, 19, when Jonathan Taylor got picked up. And I am in fear, fellas, that if Jonathan Taylor, at the time we're recording this, Jonathan Taylor doesn't have a contract, he doesn't have an extension, or he does, but he's not happy with any of it. I fear he could pull a Lev Bell and stay out the entire season. So please be careful how you take Jonathan Taylor in your drafts. Jack, in the second round, middle of the second round, the quarterbacks break. He takes Mahomes. And then Lyle takes some A.J. Brown, Philadelphia Eagles. And I was hesitant to do this, but dang it, I think Baltimore's got a pass-heavy season coming. And I picked up Mark Andrews in the second round. I'm still scared. I'm one of those guys, and I'll break every year because Travis Kelce is a old man along the lines of football, and then he just finishes tight end one every single year. I was in fear of taking him in the first round. So I grabbed Mark Andrews, and I like this pick, and I think I'm going to feel okay with it. Allen, Josh Allen goes at the bottom of the second, and then I broke my own rule that I talk about every single year. I will not take a quarterback early, and I will not take a Philadelphia Eagle, and then I just went and picked up Jalen Hurts. I am tired of playing against Jalen Hurts. I am tired of watching what his stats are every single year. So my build started wide receiver, tight end, quarterback. That has never at any point happened to me. But I thought there was some value at running back, and so I just... That's just the way I pulled it off. Jack grabs Deebo Samuel in the third. Lyle takes some Jalen Waddle, which I thought was a great pick. Eric, you got Joe Mixon in the third round. There's been a little controversy behind him this year, and but it looks like everything's going to shake out okay.
Yeah, again, just a good player on a good team. Hoping that his touchdowns go up this year. I think in the third round, this is a... You know, last year was a first-round guy looking to have a bounce-back year and on a really good team. I feel like at this point of the draft, I needed a running back. I had two wide receivers. So, you know, that was the by far the best value at that pick for running back.
Yeah, and Samaje Perine is gone from Cincinnati. Then, Justin, you just keep adding on to that team of yours. Devonta Smith, and then with the wraparound in the fourth, Calvin Ridley, finally back on the field. He's got this could be Lawrence's breakout year. I think that's a great pick.
Yeah, this was a spot where I took a shot on my guy. With Eric and I being at the end, he talked earlier about reaching. You have to, right? If you're 10, 11, 12, you know, or at the end of the draft, you're going to have to reach around for certain players if you really want to get them. There's just no other way to get them. And I think too many people get caught going, well, I'm not going to take that guy because the value's not there, right? He goes 7-8 picks later on ADP. Well, you don't pick for 20 picks. So anyway, that was Ridley. I wanted Mixon. Once Eric took Mixon, which great pick, really the third round, second, third round, you know, I was really glad to be a veteran of these drafts because this is where everybody tried to throw me off my game. John's taken a quarterback. He never does that in the first three rounds. You could say the first two because he had the second pick in the third, and it's a Philadelphia Eagle, and he took a tight end in the second round. Jack's draft is totally on track. He hasn't done anything crazy or wild. Eric snipes my running back from me. Right before I get to pick, but fortunately, yeah, Devonta Smith and Calvin Ridley fall to me. So I decided at this point I'm going potentially zero RB. Devonta Smith, the value was way too good again, and Calvin Ridley's just a guy that has number one wide receiver potential in Jacksonville. He's the number one guy. He's looked great in camp. I had him years ago, you know, before he took a couple years off, but I wanted a piece of this Jacksonville offense. And I took Ridley. He's the guy I wanted, so I reached a little bit for him. But I'm happy so far with my team build. I got the hero RB and Saquon, and now I got three number one or close to number one receivers right behind him.
We will come back and break down our draft further, and then we've got sleepers and busts and rookies and more to talk about. It is great to be back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us. It's great to be back. We're talking draft, but before that, Justin was talking about his Lombardi Trophy. He's the second winner. Well, he's the first two-time winner. Let's get that straight. Of the Lombardi, and you can get your own Lombardi or any type of fantasy football trophy. And you got 18 weeks to do it, so might as well do it now just to take a portion of the entries and have something that can travel, have something that's fun. West Central Trophies, a great local business here in Wilmer, can do that for you. Go to westcentraltrophies.com. Come to our Candy Mall or Uptown Wilmer location where we have the Lombardi on display for you to look at. westcentraltrophies.com. We're in round four, and Justin got Calvin Ridley at the top of round four. Eric, you took Alvin Kamara and the middle of the fourth round, even though he's got the three-game suspension, you still got a guy for, 14 weeks that could be all universe.
Yeah, I mean, this is where he was kind of getting picked on. I had a problem. I was not quite in my right mind. Ryan Dolezal snagged Lamar Jackson from me. So then I kind of went in panic mode, and then I couldn't find Alexander Mattson on my list. So it was Alvin Kamara. If 30 seconds goes by pretty quick, John, you better be ready to push that button. You better do your research and be ready. Some drafts are, if you do them online, are 30 seconds, 45 seconds. But I tell you what, when it comes to when that starts beeping at me, and I'm okay with this pick, John. I did get the rookie running back there, but I didn't get Williams. So I missed out on a running back there in New Orleans. I suggest you handcuff Kamara if you are going to draft him. You're probably going to have to pull the trigger a little earlier on his backup just to make sure you got a solid number two running back on your squad as far as just missing Kamara those first three games. But if he can stay healthy, John, I think it's a good pick.
I was reading about Kamara. He fired his whole personal training staff, got some new guys, and they found out that one of his legs was 2 pounds heavier than the other one. And that doesn't sound like a big deal unless you're a world-class athlete. Then that might throw your game off a little bit because he had a down year last year. And then they figured out he was having some heart rate issues. So they got that worked out, too. I'm excited to see what happens when he gets back on the field. And, yes, we have a 30-second pick clock in this league, for the record. Vikings Alexander Mattson falls in this round. Lyle takes some Ramondre Stevenson in the fourth. Not scared one bit, clearly, about the Ezekiel Elliott signing. But Mattson goes to Jack. I got a chance to grab Kenneth Walker in the fourth, and that was a guy I've been targeting, and I think that's going to be a decent pick. I'm not saying it's great. I'm not saying it's bad. I think he should be a borderline RB1 as long as he stays on the field, but we'll talk about his handcuff a little bit later. Then in the wraparound, I had the second pick in round five. I grabbed Damian Pierce, and I think, again, that's exactly where he should probably go. I think he's going to have a bigger role in catching passes this year. He is, I believe, going to be clearly I think it's going to be a 75-25 split in Houston. Yes, he's got a rookie quarterback, but I wasn't one bit afraid of picking Pierce there. Still in the fifth round, Lyle takes some Breece Hall. Jack takes Tyler Lockett. Interesting of note, Tyler Lockett has had three consecutive years of being better than DK Metcalf, and everybody takes Metcalf way ahead of Tyler Lockett. So then we move on to you, Eric. Deontay Johnson. The Pittsburgh offense, I think, is going to have a nice turnaround, and you grab just a total target hog in Deontay Johnson in the fifth.
Yeah, I appreciate the encouragement, John. This is where I felt like my draft was starting to get away from me. I maybe ate too many edibles or something was going wrong here, John. The clock was ticking again. 5 seconds left. Who do I pick? Deontay Johnson it was. I do like Pittsburgh as a comeback team this year in kind of a weaker division. I don't think that division's going to be as tough as they normally have. And I think Deontay Johnson's a safe pick for a third wide receiver.
And Pittsburgh picked up Fantasy Hall of Famer Allen Robinson this year. Justin, you grabbed a guy in the fifth that is right now meteorically shooting up fantasy boards, and that's Darren Waller. He is like turning into their wide receiver one, even though he's a tight end with the Giants.
Yeah, so this was the point where I committed fully to the Hero RB. I knew if I didn't take one here, I was really rolling the dice, and that a run likely could be coming. I think Damian Pierce is going to outperform his ADP this year. I love Damian Pierce. He was on a terrible Houston. You might as well just throw the rookie quarterback out of it because that team was awful last year, and he was all they had. And there's talk about Tank Dell, their rookie wide receiver, but Nico Collins has had every opportunity he's yet to show anything or take advantage. So I still have concerns in the passing game. They did pick up Schultz, but I love the Damian Pierce pick. And that's the only running back that I would have considered, but he was already gone. So if it wasn't full PPR, John, I would have went running back here, but because it's full PPR, I wanted Darren Waller. I want to have him on at least one team. I'm pretty excited about him this year. The only thing is, can he stay healthy? But we know you can't draft based off, you know, injury worries or concerns, and Waller has had healthy seasons. So because it's full PPR, I took him. If it wasn't, I probably would have waited and tried to grab like Pat Freiermuth later. This is where the opposite happened for me compared to Eric. I was pretty dialed in for this draft because I really want to try and be a back-to-back Lombardi winner. When I took Ridley, I also knew that I probably wasn't going to get Herbert or Justin Fields, and I kind of was hoping that Lawrence would fall to me, and he did. So yep. The first pick of the sixth round, that was an easy stack with Ridley. I snatched up Trevor Lawrence. Again, I was committed to, you know, hero RB and waiting a little bit. So,
and then we move on, and Eric, in the sixth, you grab Kyle Pitts. We know the guy's talent. Is Desmond Ridder the guy who's going to get him the ball? Are they going to ever pass the ball in Atlanta? But this, if it turns out like some people are analyzing, Kyle Pitts in the sixth round could be just a great pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's a number one tight end talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of, will it ever pan out? I mean, he's arguably the best wide receiver on their team, and he's a tight end. So it's kind of a nice safety net, and I just hope he gets in the 10 touchdown range. That'd be a fantastic year for a tight end. So I think it's a steal. I couldn't think of a lot. I was looking at Marquez Brown. You know, Hollywood was still out there, and just pulled the trigger on Pitts. Needed a tight end, mandatory league. So you got to have a tight end. And there's a couple sleeper tight ends that I can get late, but I like Pitts as a nice, safe starting my season.
I got to roll back to round five for a second because Jerry Jeudy was taken in round five, and Jerry Jeudy was carted off the field with a hamstring that is a little frightening. And what made me think of that was looking in round six. First of all, we have Jack taking Dallas Goedert. Lyle takes Terry McLaurin, and that's what made me think of Jerry Jeudy. Terry McLaurin has turf toe. Another soft injury. Tissue injury for somebody who needs to make cuts. Just be careful and keep an eye on the injury report. I had an opportunity to grab Javonte Williams in the sixth, and I'm just not sure how I feel about that. Again, a guy we know who has all the talent. Got Sean Payton there. I'm hoping for an Alvin Kamara role for Javonte Williams, but that injury he had last year was so severe, I'm just worried about it. And I should have taken the guy who I could have taken. He went right after him, and that was James Cook. I thought maybe he would fall to me. He did not. But then in round seven, I am very excited to say that I got Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks now with another team. He basically took last year off because, as Justin was talking about, that Houston team was garbage, just stone cold garbage. Brandon Cooks now with the Dallas Cowboys. So he'll be outside. CeeDee Lamb will be where he is. I really like Brandon Cooks. I'm not going to say he's going to be a wide receiver one or anything, but I think he's going to be a solid wide receiver two, and I thought that was good value in round seven. Lyle takes Pat Freiermuth in round seven. Jack takes a pick that I thought I would fall later to me, and that was David Montgomery. I think he's going to have the Jamal Williams role in Detroit. I like that move there. Eric, you pick up DeAndre Swift. You grab a Philadelphia Eagle running back. And what made you pick Swift over Penny or any of the other guys they got back there?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, if you look at the preseason numbers, a couple carries, like 34 yards, and they didn't pick this guy up to not start him. He's an absolute nightmare of a running back, catches the ball out of the backfield. I think between him and Hurts, I think this is going to really pan out. And get him in the seventh round, it's worth the risk. Like I said, I don't think they brought him in there to not start. I think he's going to start and he's going to play well.
So then, Justin, at the end of the seventh, you grab all-universe athlete Brandon Ayuk. Did you just want to have a piece of that 49er offense?
I wanted Brandon Ayuk specifically, and there were eight running backs that went. So between my last pick and here, I was right. The running back run came. John, I'd feel great about Williams. You might have to consider he's just more on that like Adrian Peterson. We're seeing it with Breece Hall. You know, some of these guys just heal faster. They're just a little bit different. I mean, he's been out there for preseason, you know, and he's playing in preseason games. So I'd be excited about that. You potentially got yourself a top 12 running back right there. And I consider Brandon Cooks, you know, kind of discount Tyler Lockett. He's just a guy you can slide into your flex every week. and feel pretty good about getting 10, potentially 30 points, you know, if he goes off. So I liked your picks there as well. I liked Zay Flowers, but he went right before me. I have Ayuk a little bit higher. So Ayuk is the best wide receiver on San Francisco. Deebo Samuel has been pretty much, you know, relegated to a flex role since CMC came over. You know, the carries went down. Ayuk's a better route runner. And everything out of camp is that he's just completely unguardable. So I wanted a piece of San Francisco, but I really specifically wanted Ayuk. I'm pretty excited about him this year. And then I grabbed a starting running back and one of the only running backs that was left in Khalil Herbert. I got, I think, pretty fortunate that he fell to me. So I snatched him up. DeAndre Swift, I don't know. He is absolutely the most talented running back in Philly, and they absolutely traded for him. But he was the most talented running back by far in Detroit, and they still didn't use him a whole lot. And I don't think it was the injury thing. So Philly has said Kenneth Gainwell is their starting running back this season, which, you know, maybe that puts Swift in a third down role. But talent could win out, right? I can absolutely see DeAndre Swift just taking over as kind of the primary back in Philly, which would make this a smash pick for Eric in the seventh round.
For sure. And Rashad Penny's there too. Eric.
Yeah, he might get cut. He is really? Like, I don't know if you guys have actually watched any Seattle preseason, but he looks like he is running in mud. I mean, he has no burst. He looks completely cooked.
I didn't know. I would certainly never watch Philadelphia Eagles. I can't even watch them during the regular season, let alone preseason.
But you'll draft a quarterback.
I did, and I'm very happy about that. Eric, you pick up OBJ in the eighth, and I'm just looking over at the clock, and I will have to throw it back to you. We're going to have to take a commercial break quick and come back with more Fantasy Football Foursome on the Loon. We're back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and hey, just a reminder, we know this show has to take more than an hour, so you can hear the rest of the show once this goes off the air. Go to 941theloon.com, where we will have the rest of the show, or grab that free 94.1 The Loon app, and go find the Fantasy Football Foursome tab on there, and you can listen to the rest of the show. We're in round 8 of our Loon League draft, and Eric, you picked up Odell Beckham Jr. Certainly had himself a nice little run, and you think there's still some tread on those tires.
Yeah, I don't know, John. I mean, at this point, the cookies had really kicked in, and I mean, I think I forgot what year it was, and I picked OBJ. You know, when you have edibles, you have to make sure you're reaching in the right bag. If you have the munchies, you don't want to keep eating the edibles. Then you pick Odell Beckham Jr. 3 years after you should have picked him.
Solid draft advice from Eric LeBroughton. Maybe we should bring that up right about now. Do not overindulge in anything during your draft so that you can have a clear mind. I should have taken my own advice as well. And when we get to my bench, it'll be very clear what was going on there.
Well, you know what, John? To stick up for Eric, right, and to say the other things he was doing impacted his draft, every other one of us from the seventh round on, you see nothing but upside picks.
That's it.
Right? Just a pile of dart throws. And Eric threw a little OBJ in there. Just to keep us on our toes.
I like it. Viking Jordan Addison goes in the eighth. He's been looking solid in camp. Jack takes some Elijah Mitchell, a nice handcuff if CMC goes down, although he's an injury concern too. Jahan Dotson, Lyle snatching up Washington Commander receivers. I had a chance, and I just don't know. You know, we talked about grabbing a piece of an offense. The outlook is good that Sky Moore is going to be on the field more. He, in an interview, they said, you know, what's the difference between this year and last year? And he said, well, I know the playbook now. It took him a full year to figure out Andy Reid's playbook, which means he's going to be on the field now. Is he going to be the number one? I have no idea. Again, as Justin said, we're looking for upside. I also grabbed some Jeff Wilson Jr., this Miami's coach whose name escapes me right now, purposely brought Jeff Wilson to Miami. They like their guys. Jeff Wilson is clearly one of his guys. What am I expecting out of Jeff Wilson? I don't know. I got him in round 9. I just hope he gets on the field is really what it comes down to. Lyle grabs a little Kirk Cousins. Jack grabs some Cordarrelle Patterson, sponsored by Geritol. And
no upside.
No. Eric, after OBJ, the Renaissance Fair kept going on with Michael Thomas in the ninth round.
I mean, it's a solid pick in this round if he can stay healthy, for sure. But again, I really do think it was just the cookies, and I forgot what year it was, John. I was just back in the twilight zone, I think. But, I mean, Michael Thomas, a healthy Michael Thomas, is a number one wide receiver. This guy's an absolute beast. I just hope he gets on the field, stays healthy, and doesn't have an attitude problem. The guy's clearly got an attitude problem. There's just been weird things that seem to surround him each year. And so hopefully this year is something different, kind of a different looking New Orleans team in a really horrible division in the dirty, dirty South. So I like Michael Thomas, 10 touchdowns this year, and got him the ninth round, John. I mean, I was disappointed I didn't get Jeff Wilson, so I ended up with Michael Thomas.
I'm sure you were. Nobody said good pick when I picked him, by the way. Justin, you grabbed a guy who absolutely broke my heart last year, and that was A.J. Dillon. Ninth round, perfect spot for him.
Yeah, I bought the discount, needed a running back. I was shocked Jalen Warren went in front of me. I thought I'd, you know, be able to snag him up at some point a little bit later, but look, we're looking for situations here, right, in these late rounds. You know, like I said, Sky Moore absolutely has the opportunity to be the primary wide receiver, right? Travis Kelce's the number one passing target, but he has the opportunity to be the number one wide receiver out there in Kansas City. I talked about Zay Flowers, has the opportunity to be the number one wide receiver for Lamar Jackson, an offense that we expect to throw a lot more with the new offensive coordinator out there. So we're looking for situation. AJ Dillon, Aaron Jones is getting a little bit older. He was productive last year, but he didn't look as explosive as he has in years past. And if there's any kind of injury to him, I've got, you know, a starting running back, you know, sitting on my bench. So I grabbed Dillon, and then I needed a spark here, you know, just to wake me back up, some kind of smash hit potential that maybe I can flip for a position I need later. So I grab Anthony Richardson. In the 10th round, I was super pumped that he fell this far. I thought somebody would snag him earlier and I wouldn't get him. But at the 10th round, my starting lineup's full. I got a couple bench players at this point. So I grabbed him. And hopefully, you know, he takes off. And Lyle snatched. I love Jahan Dotson too in these rounds as well. It's another receiver I really like. Even before the McLaurin injury, I preferred Dotson to Terry McLaurin. Real quick, fellas, we talked about the Judy thing. I was going to let you know, the night before he got carted off in my Dynasty League, I traded him and Dak Prescott for Jahan Dotson. And I have Joe Burrow and Geno Smith at quarterback, so it was a throwaway for me. But and then I saw, you know, the next day Judy got carted off.
Yikes. Well,
I'm still happy with the trade. Still happy with it. I'm pumped to get Jahan Dotson on a Dynasty team.
I'm always scared of drafting a rookie quarterback for any reason, but Anthony Richardson is kind of a different animal, totally. And if Jonathan Taylor doesn't play for the Colts this season, that could really pump up Anthony Richardson's draft stock. Eric, you picked Treylon Burks in the 10th, wide receiver, Tennessee Titans. Injury issues, looks healthy now, and I think that offense is going to throw a little bit more.
Yeah, John, I mean, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I still, to this day, don't even know who that guy is. So, I mean,
fantasy advice.
Richardson got snagged in front of me. Dak Prescott got snagged in front of me, and I was flustered. I was going through the thing, trying to pick somebody. The dang shot clock started beeping at me, and I choked with
Let me help you out. It's a good pick.
It is.
Right? They picked up Hopkins, right? So that'll take coverage away from Treylon Burks. They still have Derrick Henry, which you have to respect. Treylon Burks should see a lot of single coverage and some open space, you know, running some of these routes. And he's a playmaker. So
I should have took Aaron Rodgers. I should have took Jamal Williams as my handcuff running back. But I hope Treylon Burks works out. If he makes the cut, I might just end up, you know, waiver wire worrying somebody.
I think the Titans are all in, Justin. I think that's what they're doing this year. Problem is they don't have much of an offensive line, but I don't see anything wrong with that pick in the 10th for sure.
No, They absolutely can win the division. Their competition is, you know, as far as we know, is going to be Jacksonville. And Tennessee managed to still be pretty competitive last year, despite being just ravaged by injuries.
Yeah. Moving down the list, Jack takes Gabe Davis. Lyle takes Darnell Mooney, hoping for a bounce back year. Fields can get him the ball. In the 10th round, I got Zach Charbonnet. That would be a handcuff to Kenneth Walker III. Or maybe that's a 50-50 split. I don't know yet what they're doing out there in Seattle. I just grabbed it because I needed a handcuff. So then in the 11th, this is where my gin was starting to clearly affect my brain. And the 30-second timer, which we may need to discuss that off air, where I grabbed Dalton Kincaid, first round pick, Buffalo Bills. I wanted a piece of their offense. I like this kid. We can talk about him more probably in the rookie stuff after the show is over. But Dalton Kincaid, he's lining up in the slot for the Bills. Rookie tight ends, a little scary. But much like Anthony Richardson, I think this is a different level of tight end. So then we go back. Lyle grabs Rashad Penny in the 11th. Jack gets the Bills defense, breaks that open. Eric, you grab Quentin Johnson. This is a hot pick from the Los Angeles Chargers. Kellen Moore's over there now and poised for a pretty big season. Quentin Johnson might be a good pick in the 11th.
Yeah, I mean, with just a solid, solid team, a number one and a number two receiver in Williams and Allen, they just can't stay healthy. So when you got receivers that can't stay healthy, I think there's going to be a spot for this guy to snag lots of carries. He's a beast. He's an absolutely huge target, lots of speed. I'm kind of like you, John. Here's where I started picking just some big risk, big reward picks. So you hope the rookie can work out. Probably the biggest wide receiver in the rookie class this year.
Yeah, for sure. Justin, in the 11th, you grab a guy not many people are talking about, but has all the talent in the world. And Watson's a little rusty. They're saying it in camp, but the guy hasn't played ball in a long time, and he's still a rock-solid quarterback. You grab Elijah Moore in the 11th.
Yeah, so Deshaun Watson won't be on a single one of my teams this year, just to be very clear. One, I think he's cooked. The accuracy's completely gone. He's not going to run much at all, which is what made him, you know, a top five quarterback in the past. And then there's all the mental psychological stuff that, you know, he's probably still battling. So I don't want nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, also he's just a piece of garbage. So Elijah Moore, though, he has been kind of playing a little bit of the Deebo Samuel role or a role similar to that in Cleveland. They, you know, can you name Cleveland's backup running back? It's Ford, I believe, right? Who's a young guy with some promise, but it's Nick Chubb and nothing else. So they've had Elijah Moore, you know, taking snaps in the backfield, you know, getting some runs out of the backfield as well as passes. And it's looked good in camp. So took a flyer on him, you know, upside receiver. I wanted Quentin Johnston. Eric absolutely sniped him from me. He's right. Allen and Williams are both better right now, but they both are going to get hurt at some point, miss a game or two. And we saw Josh Palmer, you know, put up really good weeks when one of those guys were out. He was absolutely startable, wide receiver too, easily. And Johnson's going to slide right into that. So great pick there. Left me with more. And then somebody finally picked the Philadelphia starting running back, Kenneth Gainwell, which is me, on the wraparound there, the first pick in the 12th round. And it's tongue in cheek, but I'm holding out hope that he actually is the starting running back. And I get lucky and I have another valuable running back in the stable.
Kenny G in the 12th. Well, we'll keep going with the remaining rounds of the Loon League draft. And remind you, if you want to get yourself a Loon Barty trophy, go see our friends over at West Central Trophies. Come check it out here at the Candy Mall, what ours looks like. It's fun to have something to play for, and you can do that. Just go to westcentraltrophies.com. We'll be back with more Fantasy Football Foursome right after this. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Just a reminder, we're going to have more Fantasy Football Foursome talking about some rookies, some sleepers, some busts, things like that. But you're going to have to go online, 941theloon.com, or grab that free 94.1 The Loon app. Nate Thomas says, I only get 1 hour of programming. We're in round 12 of the Loon Draft, just talking about guys we took and why we took them. Eric, Sean Payton rolls into Denver. You grab Russell Wilson, hoping for a bounce back year from him in round 12.
Yeah, I mean, with Sean Payton coming in there, the offense should be better. Why not? I mean, at this point, I didn't have a quarterback, John. I'm sitting in round 12 with no quarterback.
Yeah.
So probably a little bit too much of a stretch. I was disappointed Justin didn't snag my rookie quarterback I wanted. And I just – all the guys that I wanted kept falling right before me. That's kind of what we talked about earlier, John. If you want your player, you might have to reach sometimes. And I just wasn't willing to reach for a quarterback. So I ended up getting what I feel is a really good value in Russell Wilson in the 12th round, because I really don't give a crap if I have to drop him and waiver wire a quarterback at some point if he doesn't pan him. So, I mean, I'm happy with Russell Wilson. He has potential for a top 10 quarterback in the league on a really good Denver team. It does. Judy, hopefully he comes back and is fine, but he's got a good receiving core, got good running backs. Now he's got a good coach. See what happens. So yeah, I took a flyer on him. I feel like it's, I like the beast or bust draft strategy as you get in these later rounds. So he's either a beast or a bust. We'll see what happens.
Jack grabbed Alan Lazard in the 12th on his new team, the Jets. Lyles took some Raheem Mostert, who may very well be the starter as well in Miami. When he's on the field, the guy is blazing fast. So who knows what's happening there. In the 12th round, I went for a stretch, and that was picking up Tank Bigsby, running back Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if ETN is going to be as productive in the passing game this season. They drafted Tank Bigsby. I think he was a third round pick, so they must want him on the field. And he might get the goal line work too. Everybody just says how ETN is explosive. That's great. But is he a good running back? I don't know. Too early to tell. So I just took a chance on Tank Bigsby. And then I grabbed another tight end in the 13th. Jake Ferguson, rookie Dallas Cowboys, hoping maybe he'll be a flex. Maybe he'll take the Dalton Schultz role. We never said this yet, but we have to start a tight end in our Loon League. So I just wanted to see if any of these guys would be upsides. I'm more than happy to flex a tight end if they're scoring 15 points a week. Lyle grabs Romeo Doubs. Jack grabs Sam Howell, quarterback, who's getting a little rub in the 13th. Eric, you come in with Matthew Stafford, quarterback for you.
Yeah, I mean, again, when you're taking a flyer on your quarterbacks in the 12th and 13th round, you might want to make sure you have two of them. So I went with old man Matthew Stafford just a couple years ago. He was a fantastic quarterback. He was hit by the injury bug last year, John. So, I mean, last year was a bust for him altogether. So I'm hoping a bounce back year for Matthew Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams. I think, again, top 10 potential, probably more like top 20 potential, but hoping for the upside on Matthew Stafford and hoping I don't have to play him, John.
Yeah, well, there is that.
I'm going to probably reach out to him. Sounds maybe like I might have to trade one of you two for quarterback.
You did get the stack with Cup, though. That's an easy pairing.
Yeah.
You're going to take a shot. You might as well grab it.
Odell Beckham Jr. is on for Anthony Richardson is on the table if you want to consider it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll counter with, I suggest you drop Russell Wilson right now and pick up Brock Purdy off the waiver wire.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. we can talk about it later, but Kyler Murray went undrafted, and for a lot of reasons. Clearly, Arizona has thrown in; they're done. The towel has been thrown in.
Some jerk went and picked him up on the waiver wire at like 3 a.m.
That was
so
me.
I couldn't have him. I was going to do that and then put him in your IR spot. It was a no-brainer.
That was me, and then grabbed that. Yeah. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think he's going to play this year either. Clearly, they're tanking for Caleb Williams. Justin, in the 13th, you grab yet the third Miami Dolphin running back and probably the best of the three, but I think he's banged up a little bit right now, Devon Achane.
Yeah, a dark throw, right? Just listening to what all the other experts have been saying on the various shows and stuff I read, it's a running back who has a shot. It's a mess in Miami, but it's the 13th round, right? I'm not grabbing a committee running back where you don't really know the situation in the fifth or the sixth round or something like that. It's the 13th round. Devin Achane, Jeff Wilson, I think, is the running back to have in Miami, and I think he'll be the starter. But, you know, I'll throw a dart on Achane and see what happens.
Then the 14th, you grabbed what a lot of people are saying was the first, it should be the first overall defense, and they didn't go first in our draft, but you got the Cowboys.
Yeah, and that's why I grabbed them, because I'm at the end, right? So usually I'll wait till the very end, I'm the 12th pick, you know what I'm saying, a 12-man team. So 14th round, 15th, 16th, it's all the same. The Cowboys were still sitting there. I'd kind of forgotten about defense. And then my plan was I was just going to grab, like, Washington because they have a great matchup. I think they play Houston week one, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. But Dallas was there. So I snagged up the Cowboys defense, and Savvy Carter, I think, grabbed Washington in the next round.
My defense, and well, we'll go to Eric first because he was first with this. I love this pick in the 14th round, Rashad Bateman from the Ravens. And again, this could be a high octane, high throwing offense. And we know Bateman can play. And to get him in the 14th round, Eric, I think that's just rock solid.
Oh, totally makes up for the OBJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised he was still there in the 14th round. I mean, this guy has number one wide receiver potential with Jackson throwing the ball, with OBJ to John. He's going to draw attention. If anything, OBJ is definitely going to draw a defender or two. So, I mean, I think Bateman has a bounce back year after getting injured last year. He was looking really good before he got injured. A snag in the 14th round.
Jack grabs Michael Gallup. You can have him. Lyle goes with Jordan Love, who we'll see what happens in his first full year as a starter. I grabbed the Browns defense. I had them a little higher, but the problem was is I wanted the Saints, and Justin Klinghagen took them in the same round. Saints have a pretty light schedule this year, so I grabbed the Browns, who I had high. And then here we go with just yet another dart throw. Tajay Spears was my round 15 pick. Derrick Henry's handcuff, another guy that they drafted this last year, so he's another rookie running back. Worried a little bit about Derrick Henry, and the guy's had 25,000 carries. I just don't know when enough is enough for this guy, and Spears has looked pretty good in the preseason. Lyle comes back with Rashee Rice. That's a pretty sexy pick from the Chiefs right now. Jack grabs Geno Smith, probably his fifth quarterback. I don't know for sure. Eric, you grab the Patriots defense. I don't even know if Matt Patricia is still on that squad, but last year, what a disaster. Matt Patricia calling offensive plays as a defensive coach, but you still got Belichick there. That's really all that matters with the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I totally play the waiver wire on defenses. I mean, I don't even know if they're on my team anymore. I do kind of a matchup-based defense. I never draft a defense just to take them. So each and every week I'm looking at the best matchup and the best defense available. Often I look a week ahead, John. That's how I strategize and win championships, is making sure you got a defense for the next week. Defenses are important. I mean, when you're tying or winning and losing by a couple points, that defensive matchup and making sure you don't get negative points is huge. You don't want to just keep your defense when they're playing Kansas City. You bench them, you know?
Right on. Justin, you grabbed Devontae Parker. Like I was saying, just with when I was talking about Eric's deal, Bill O'Brien coming in is, I think, a real game changer in New England this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's not a lot of pieces of that offense, right? You've got Ramondre and then, you know, a couple tight ends. So Devontae Parker is a down-the-field threat. For some reason, they paid him quite a bit of money. He got, you know, I think he got a new contract with them. So it's 15th round, potential top wide receiver, a guy I can plug in on a bye week in my flex spot. Best case, worst case, you know, I'll drop him for a better player once the season starts.
And then you grab 4'11", Deuce Vaughn, Dallas Cowboys, yeah, in the 16th.
This one was for fun, but I already dropped him and picked up Evan Hall for the Colts. With the Taylor news, I mean, that's just a disaster right now out there, and I don't know what's going on. He has no leverage. You know, he's got to know he has no leverage. I got it. You can sit out until week 8. I think they got to play 6 games for it to count as a season or a year off their contract. But there's something a team can do to a player when they come back. They can inactivate him for like 2 weeks, so they have to come back in week eight to get those six games in for it to count as a season. So there is a real scenario where Taylor holds out until then. He's not going to get traded unless Indy's willing to take a second or a third rounder. I just don't see a team giving up draft capital and a pile of money because, remember, he needs a new contract for a running back, even one as talented as Jonathan Taylor. There's just – you got to pay quarterbacks. You got to pay receivers. You got to pay defensive players. The money's just not there. The return on value right now at this point in the NFL, it's not there. Do I think it'll come back? Yeah, I do. I think at a point you'll get more running backs that can do a lot more wide receiver stuff while also being a really good runner. And then that's when we may see the big contracts come back for running backs.
I have to apologize. I have read volumes over the off season. I have listened to some audio. I have just kept an eye on everything. I don't know who Puka Nacua is, Eric. That was your 16th round pick, wide receiver.
Well, I know who he is.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a standout at BYU, John. He got drafted this year. Probably, you know, the most effective receiver coming out of the draft as far as his college career. I mean, this guy, he's really good. He's, you know, they struggle with depth in L.A., John. As you know, each and every year they're going to, like, wide receiver number 7 at some point. Mm-hmm. So this guy's going to get his chance out there in L.A., and, I mean, he could be the next big unknown thing, John, and now you better learn that name. You don't even know how to say it.
Is it Puka?
You know, I don't know how to
say Nacua.
It. Puka Nacua.
Who has been a standout in camp, a standout in preseason games. And Eric's right. They have not had a compliment to Cooper Kupp since they had Robert Woods. Robinson, we know, was a massive bust. Pretty much anyone that's gone out there.
Van Jefferson, who went right before him. I mean, I'm not going to take Van Jefferson. I mean, who's going to start Van Jefferson? But I'd be happy to start Puka Nacua. I mean, if the guy played just for name value.
I closed it out second to last pick with Donovan Peoples-Jones. The guy is an all-universe. He's like Brandon Ayuk. He's an all-universe athlete. He's probably going to have the Mike Williams role on Cleveland. I'm not expecting too much, but I never expect too much from a round 16 pick. Like Eric said, I'm fine dropping him, and I did drop him. And then I picked up Kyler Murray, and then I picked up Donovan Peoples-Jones again. So yeah, that's how the Loon League shaped up. Well, we're going to come back. Not on air. Remember, we're going to be on the Loon app or the Loon website, 941theloon.com, and we've got more things to talk about. But we want to thank our sponsors for the Fantasy Football Foursome. It is great to be back on the air. That would be ACC Midwest Transportation, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, the United States Marine Corps, and West Central Trophies. For Justin Havemeyer and for Eric LeBrotton, my name is John Jennings. Check more of us out on the app and online. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Football Foursome.